Hi, I'm Jackie Ivanko, and you're listening to Life Minute TV.
At just 10 years old, Jackie Ivanko became a worldwide sensation with her breathtaking performance on America's Got Talent. From there, she went on to become a multi-platinum selling recording artist, working alongside everyone from Tony Bennett and Barbara Streisand to Josh Groban and Andrea Bocelli. The 24-year-old has truly found her voice, writing on her own for the first time, 6 original songs on a new EP called Sola, co-produced by Smash Mouth's Greg Camp. Jackie says Sola is a reflection of self-discovery and a new musical journey. She stopped by the Life Minute Studios recently to tell us all about it and perform the hit single off the EP, Behind My Eyes. This is a Life Minute with Jackie Ivanko.
So tell us about the new EP.
So I finally, for the first time in my entire career, am singing my own music that I wrote myself. And I'd kind of been saving up all of these songs and ideas throughout my entire career. And this is kind of the first time I get to put it out there and the first time I had the confidence to really do that. Sola is basically little stories about my life, experiences I've had. Unfortunately, right now, they're a lot more on like the sad side, just because that's the thing that I kept buried for so long. But there's a lot more where that came from.
It's a new sound for you?
Yes, it is definitely a different sound than people have ever heard me do, at least since The Masked Singer. And that's actually where I was introduced to this pop side of my voice. And once I discovered that, I kind of ran with it. And so I was writing more and more music in the style of pop. But I'm most familiar or known for my classical stuff. And so to do all the pop stuff is really new and a challenge, but I love it.
And do you feel like on The Masked Singer, since you were masked, you kind of could explore more and that kind of opens you up to?
Oh, definitely. When I was on The Masked Singer, it was so exciting because no one knew who was behind this giant cat mask. So when they were talking to me about, you know, the style I wanted to sing and everything, pop was the obvious choice. And it was really fun because I was anonymous. Nobody knew who I was. And so I was really free to just let go of all the rigid stuff that I'd learned throughout the years or adapted to or adopted throughout the years. Yeah, that's the show that really gave my voice the freedom to explore pop.
And you wrote these songs on the EP. Can you tell us about like the creative process?
Songwriting for this EP was kind of interesting because it was a mixture of stuff that I'd already had. Like the oldest song on that EP in terms of being written, I wrote when I was 15, and that's Consequences. There was no structure to the songwriting really, especially because this was like my first legit experience with songwriting. I've learned whatever works for you works for you. So there's songs that I wrote in a hotel. There's songs that I wrote at home. Some songs took a few days. Some songs took an hour. And it's just whatever feels right for that song. So it was cool.
What inspires you?
I think what inspires me most are the things people don't talk about or the things I'm afraid to talk about. And that's typically what just kind of pours out of me, especially over a quick span of time. Things that are heavy emotionally are what's really inspiring me at the moment.
And can you talk about some of the tracks?
Consequences is a song that I wrote whenever I was 15 and dealing with, you know, the pains and aches of becoming a teenager, as I think all of us relate to. And Smoking Gun was my first breakup song. I wrote that about, I think, a 2-year relationship I'd had that ended very badly. And it's just weird for me because I've always watched all of these artists that I love do interviews and they're saying things like these about their songs. Never thought I was gonna be one of them. Back to the songs. Behind My Eyes, that's the title track to the whole EP. And that was really fun because it was more of an upbeat 80s song-ish. And I wrote that just by myself in a hotel room, you know, and I was going stir crazy. And so I kind of tried to capture that in a song because that's a familiar feeling for me. I've felt that my entire career. That's a long time because I started at 10. But honestly, all the tracks are deeply personal to me, and there's elements of things that are sort of taboo to talk about, mental illness, bad life experiences. This is my introduction to talking about my truth, basically, and it's a lot easier to do that through music.
And who were you, like, your big music inspirations growing up? Who did you listen to?
I listened to so many different styles of music. I was listening to Nat King Cole, Tony Bennett, But then on the other spectrum, end of the spectrum, I was listening to Marilyn Manson. And then in the middle, there's The Killers. And it was all over the place. But I would say my main inspirations these days are The Killers, The Saint Motel, Amy Winehouse. All of those little things just kind of live in me in my songs.
And when did you discover you could sing?
That's such a tricky question. When did I discover I could sing? I don't know if I ever really did discover that I could sing. It's hard to describe. My parents discovered me first when I was 8, and they were like, hey, my daughter kind of sounds good, but let's see if everyone else thinks so too. And then whenever I got onto AGT, I still kind of was just doing what I liked to do. You know, I never thought I was good or bad, but I saw everyone's reactions. And then I just kept doing it throughout the years. I would say that maybe within the last 2 years is when I kind of got the sense of, I know what I'm doing and I'm supposed to be doing this. I think from there on, or there before, it was just going with the flow and learning thing.
And take us back to that moment when you stepped on the America's Got Talent stage. Were you aware of how big a moment that was?
To be honest, when I was first on AGT, I think the gravity of it did not hit. I knew that it was like a big deal, but I didn't feel that it was a big deal. I guess I'm somebody that like functions off of feeling things rather than being told they are what they are. I didn't really realize that it was that big a deal until after, when I went home and my whole life changed. Nothing was the same since.
What were some of like the challenges being so young and being thrust in the spotlight?
Some of the challenges I personally experienced being a child star is there's a lot of things that go on that are not exactly comfortable. I did deal with a good amount of pedophiles following me, put in uncomfortable situations, you know, and then there's the element of being stuck in the spotlight and you're not even fully grown. It's just a strange thing for me to elaborate on, because as I grew up, I sort of started to care about how I looked and I was comparing, and there's an element of comparing myself to adult female celebrities, and I'm a child still. And so there was this pressure on me that I put on myself to try to attain that, especially through growing up. And that morphed into disordered eating, and it's still there. It's not going anywhere at the moment, but I'm working on it. There was just a lot of dysfunctional things learned because of that. I mean, I had a fear of older men, including my own grandparents, because of the experiences with the older men who followed me everywhere. And there were things that happened even before America's Got Talent with older men when I was trying to sort of follow my dreams. There's a lot of things that would take forever to go off on.
Remind me of The Quiet on Set. Did you watch that documentary?
Yes. I just actually was in the middle of it. Yeah, it's crazy, but it's accurate. There's a lot of things that I'm like, oh yeah, I get that. I've experienced certain versions of that.
Seems like a lot of things coming to light.
No, a lot of things are coming to light. And I was just going to say, I'm glad that we're all talking about it, because it's really important to get it to stop if you talk about it first. I can say from the perspective of a child star, it's so scary, especially with cancel culture and everything. People are so opinionated, especially online. The keyboard warrior thing. You know, our jobs are our lives, and it's so scary that one person who decides to start this internet revolution against somebody else, they don't feel the gravity of that being their lives. So yeah, we're all terrified to talk about it, I think, but we're all getting braver.
Then like the flip side, the good part of it, you got to perform for President Obama and the Pope and Oprah's last show, and with amazing people like Barbra Streisand. Can you talk about some of the most memorable moments you had in your career?
Yeah, there was a lot of beautiful, beautiful moments that I got to experience being a child star too. And some of the most favorite ones for me are the ones that are behind the scenes, but yeah, it's amazing that I got to sing with Tony Bennett and Barbra Streisand, and those are staples, of course. But there are things like staying at the Malibu Beach Inn for weeks while I was recording my first album with David Foster. Little magical pieces like all the hermit crabs that lived in the rocks there and how much I got to sit on the beach. It's little things like that that really stand out to me.
Did any of these people give you any advice, like David Foster? Like, what have you learned from them or taken from people like him?
I was always a perfectionist, don't get me wrong, but when I was working with David Foster, one of his main things that he would tell me was, yeah, that was good. That was really good. But we want it to be great. That is something that echoes in my head and sticks with me even to this day. And I'm really grateful for it because, yeah, you can pull off something and it's passable. But what makes somebody individual and great is when they try to perfect it to their own standards and then they're happy with it. So I'm really glad he taught me that.
Is there anyone who you love to collab with? Dream collaboration?
I have a lot of dream collaborations to the point where it's hard to conjure one at the moment. But I can say that if I were to sing with Brandon Flowers, that would be pretty cool. And I think my dad would agree. He would be jealous. Or even now that we have AI, it'd be so cool if I had the chance to sing with somebody that I was raised listening to, like Frank Sinatra or Tony Bennett again. That would be cool.
And who do you listen to today? Like, who are you a fan of?
These days, what I listen to the most is obviously The Killers. They're going to be in me forever. I listen to this band called Tiger Cub. They're really, really cool. The Black Keys. I like Juno Dream. That sort of genre. Cage the Elephant. I'm a little angsty, I guess.
What do you like to do when you're not working? How do you relax?
What I do when I'm not working is I'm such a busybody. So I'm still on my feet, flitting around everywhere. Everyone makes fun of me for it. But I'll be gardening, sewing, songwriting, painting, drawing, or just really trying to get out of my house, whether it's to go walk around or go to the grocery store, you know, just stuff like that.
How do you de-stress?
I de-stress by songwriting, actually. Things that keep my mind occupied for hours at a time, that's how I de-stress.
And how do you keep your voice healthy? Do you have any pre-show rituals?
I do have some pre-show rituals, but surprisingly enough, it's not so much singing warm-ups. It's more body stretches that I learned through the years. I thought it was so crazy when I first found out how physical all over singing is. It's not just here. And like tension here can affect everything. It's mainly stretching.
Do you do any like working out to keep your stamina?
I do a lot of jogging. That's super important for breathing. I mean, Taylor Swift does it too. She's constantly jogging from what I've heard. That's mainly it. Oh, and then core stuff.
Mm-hmm. And what's next for you?
What's next for me is a lot more songwriting, acting. I'm getting into acting more because it's been years since I was in anything. I kind of want to try my hand at producing my own music videos or short films and, you know, starring in them and stuff like that. That would be really cool. But mainly songwriting.
And if you weren't singing, what would you be doing?
If I wasn't singing, I think I would either be writing for other people or with other people or acting.
All right, you're more into fashion now, so you have Fashion Week. What's like your personal style and is it changing or evolving? What are you fashion obsessed with?
My personal style, I would say, is a bit like edgy, minimalist-ish, with a hint of grunge. It's definitely still evolving, I think, but I like to try things that most people wouldn't do in super subtle ways. Like, when I went to Fashion Week, I decided to hand-paint flowers on my chest, but I wore a very simple, like, tux suit top. Just things like that. I really want to implement painting art styles into fashion and singing and everything. I don't know. I wish you could step into my head, it'd be easier.
And are you into skincare or beauty? Like,
yeah, I'm definitely into skincare and beauty and stuff, especially because when I was a kid, my skin was terrible. I don't know if it was from the show makeup or what, but on the bright side, I've been moisturizing since I was like 12, so hopefully it's in my favor. I don't know, my skincare routine's like Epiduo and DML lotion. Because I have super sensitive skin, but I do love Morphe right now and Fit Me foundation and all that brand. I like to do a mix of drugstore and bougie stuff.
And I love like your darker hair.
Thank you. See, I'm trying to just embrace what I've always wanted to do, but was told I can't. You're famous for being blonde. You can't mess that up. I'm not going to say it again, but you know, my mantra. People were for a long time trying to get me to dress extremely sexy. I remember I had a dress and then my manager at the time had me tailor it, but he told them how short to make it. When I got that dress back, girl, that was a shirt. That was not a dress and I never wore it. But now I'm kind of, if I want to be sexy, that's up to me. if I want to have slight sex appeal, that's up to me. If I want to cover up more, that's up to me. And that's kind of what I'm doing right now. And sometimes I have to fight people on it, but oh well.
What's your advice for girls dealing with body image issues, eating disorders?
My advice, it's tricky for me because I'm still very much dealing with it. I guess what I can say is that when all of this started for me in terms of disordered eating, there was a moment where I kind of caught it and prevented it from happening, at least at that point in time. And how I did that was I was walking around my school. I was in public school at the time. I was so sick of being like insecure about myself because I know I can't change who I am. So I told myself anytime I feel that sort of anxious pang of am I good enough and do I look okay? I told myself in my head, you're beautiful, and I would repeat it in my head. It actually worked for the rest of that year. But in my line of work, we're in the spotlight so much that it's like so hard to keep implementing sometimes. But that's the thing, don't give up on it. You have to keep going.
I've been getting kind of scared and feeling unprepared for what's to come. There's this fear deep inside of me, like there's something I cannot see and it's coming after me. It's hard to bear. If you could see behind my eyes, you'd see the truth inside the lies. And if you read between the lines, you'd see I'm running from my mind. La, la, la. Things lurking in the dark, they like to leave a mark inside of you. If you care just to take a peek in a false reality, come take a trip with me. Let's go to the moon. If you could see behind my, you'd see the truth inside the lies. And if you read between the lines, you'd see I'm running from my fading end of a daydream. Awake in life, torn at the seam, I am the match all the gasoline. If you could see behind my eyes, you'd see the truth inside the lies. And if you read between the lines, you'd see I'm running from my mind. If you could see behind my eyes, you'd see the truth inside the lies. And if you read between the lines, you'd see I'm running.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.